Good morning, church. I'm Jeremy Africa, and I serve as the lead pastor here at Midland First United Methodist Church. And whether you're in our sanctuary or you're joining us on the church's live stream, I'm glad that we could worship together on this Pentecost Sunday and also Memorial Day weekend. Indeed, as we join our nation in remembering those who have given the ultimate sacrifice in service to our country, and as we join one another as the church on this Remembrance Sunday, a time to remember our saints who have passed since this service last year, special welcome to family of those whom we are remembering today. As we enter into this time of worship, invite you to turn to our announcements that are happening this week and in subsequent weeks. I want to highlight a few of them as we live out our commitment to the cross, our commitment to being a congregation that is connected, respectful, open-minded, with Scripture as our foundation, and with service in our heart. And so to begin our announcements this morning, I'm going to hand things off to Drew Talbot, who serves as a member on our STEP ministry team with an announcement about our Memorial Day parade this week.
Thank you, Jeremy. Good morning, church. So the STEP committee is sponsoring our church in a lot of different things, but tomorrow is we're going to walk in the Memorial Day parade. So I'm here just to invite you all, if you'd like to walk, it's approximately a mile. We walk down Main Street to down Rod, and then we stop at King's Daughter. So it's not too far. If you need a ride back, we can get you a ride back, or if you want to walk back to the church, we're going to gather here about 9:15, 9:30. We will get in place to where we will be at the parade and go from there. Have some fun, pass out some candy, and should be a good time. And the weather seems like it should be cooperating as well. So, and if you don't know what the STEP committee is or STEP team is, we do several things for our church. We do the blessing box out there, which you guys help us keep full. We do random acts of kindness, really throughout the year, but especially around Christmas time for people who have to work on the holiday itself. Maybe we take it to a hospital sometime, or the police, or fire department, or nursing homes, all different events. We also take care of Hintz Park, keeping it clean. We're there about three times a year. And also the whole Maple Grove community, we kind of embrace them when they need help. And we do the hot chocolate ministry when we hand out hot chocolate across the street. So a few things that STEP does besides the parade that's coming up tomorrow. So please feel free to join us. You don't need to sign up. Just show up. That'd be great. Thank you.
Thank you, Drew. Next, we're going to turn to Pastor Bethany with an announcement about Sunday school coming up and service days for our children and youth. Pastor Bethany?
Thank you, Pastor Jeremy. It is going to be a busy, buzzing summer this summer in Sunday school. The theme will be the Beatitudes, and it will be a VBS-style Sunday school with skits, science, and crafts. And as you'll see up on the screen, it will be in the theme of bumblebees and things of that nature. And then on a couple of different Saturdays, the families will have an opportunity to be a blessing in partnership with Midwest Mission. They'll be assembling school supply kits on June 13th, July 11th, and August 8th. So I invite you to mark your calendars for that. Anyone is welcome from 9 to 11 here at the church. And keep an eye on your e-blast and on the bulletin for more information. We invite you to join us for our busy, buzzing summer studying the Beatitudes. Thank you, Pastor Jeremy.
Sounds like it's going to be a sweet Sunday school summer. Oh, be kind. All right. I don't have one to follow that one up with. Here we go. Next announcement I want to highlight in your bulletin is you'll find in our weekly listing of events this week that I asked you to note that we have our six lay members of annual conference, Pastor Bethany and myself, heading to Acme Township just outside of Traverse City next week, this is May 29th through 31st, for annual conference. This is the statewide gathering of United Methodist laity and clergy. As we attend to our work as the United Methodist Church here in Michigan. So I invite you to note that, but also to be praying for this gathering. Pray for all who will gather, for the miles that will be covered to bring our laity and clergy to this one place in Michigan. Pray for our work and mission as the United Methodist Church here in Michigan, and indeed invite you to pray for all the communities that our churches are a part of. So please be mindful of that in your prayers coming up this coming week. Finally, I want to bring to your attention that indeed the church office will be closed tomorrow in observance of Memorial Day. Our regular office hours will resume on Tuesday, May 26th at 9 a.m. If you will please be mindful of that as you reach out to the church office this week.
Please remain standing for the call to worship. Today, we are here to not only worship God, but also to honor and remember those who have passed away since May of 2025. God, instill a feeling of gratitude for those individuals who are named in the bulletin and will be honored later in our worship. We as members of Christ Church have memories of our loved ones that give us joy. May we also remember the source of that joy is our faith in God. Help us to be more like you, God, and to do as you would have us to do.
Glory to God in the highest.
May we each seize the opportunity
given to us by Christ and share our faith in those who are around us. Praise be to God for his love and his grace forever.
Amen. And if you are able, please remain standing for our opening hymn, Spirit of the Living God, found on page 393 in your hymnal or on the screen.
Comfy things we're wearing today. Hi, how are you doing, Nora? Oh, you have an owl. Who else do we have visiting us today?
Hedwig the fairy.
Hedwig.
The platypus? Oh my goodness. You always got some babies too. Wow. He's really going to celebrate Memorial Day, isn't he? Holy cow. All right, this morning we are going to talk about being a living sacrifice. One of the things we're going to talk about. So for Memorial Day, a lot of us are excited. It means a lot of different things to a lot of us, right? It means if you're in school, what does Memorial Day mean to you if you're in school?
No school.
Yeah, we have a 3-day weekend. Yeah, that is true. Yep.
That's what it means. It might have a 4-day weekend because our daycare was closed the day before yesterday.
You had a 4-day weekend? Woo! That is wonderful.
We're at a 4.5-day because Friday was half day.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Okay, and to the sports fans, it means a lot of things, right? There's a lot of things going on. There's racing, if the weather permits today. From the very beginning of time of this country's history, men and women have been willing to lay down their lives for our nation. They died to win their freedom in the, do you know there's a couple wars? Do you remember the wars?
Yeah.
What are they?
I don't remember the
Civil War.
Civil War, World War II, yeah, Mexican War. They came together in the Civil War, right? They died to protect our freedom. So today, anyway, we are going to, our Bible verse is greater love has no other than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. So let us pray. Ready? Dear Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with us today as we celebrate together, as we do a comfy day. We ask you to forgive us for our selfishness. We ask you to help us put others first before us. And we ask you to help us as we discover what being a living sacrifice is all about. We ask you to be with those that are sick, and we ask you to have your healing hands upon them. We ask you that we have a wonderful summer in our celebration with our Beatitudes this summer as we celebrate. And for those of you that can come to our Saturday, we ask you to come to our Saturday also. And in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
As we enter into this time of remembrance, I want to share with you how we use the term saints in the United Methodist Church. For indeed, that word can carry a lot of meanings. As United Methodists, we refer to saints as being all faithful Christians, living and deceased to belong to the body of Christ. We don't mean to suggest that these individuals, whether living or having passed on to eternal glory, that they are perfect, that they are to be venerated, yet we acknowledge that their faith is a testimony and inspiration to ours. And so on this day, we focus our attention and use this term mostly on those who have gone before us to life everlasting. Most especially our members who passed since our observance of this service last year. I want to draw your attention to the red geraniums that are up front here this morning. These are in memory of our saints and will be planted in our gardens this summer. There's also the memorial wreath in the memorial garden, and that is in place in memory of all of our saints, all of our loved ones who have been interred in the church's memorial garden. So I invite you to be mindful of these reminders this morning. But now, as we remember those who have passed since our last Remembrance Sunday, I'm going to turn our attention to Renee Johnson, who will lead us in our time of remembrance.
Judy Sherrick. Betty Peak. Shirley Townsend. Barb Broadwell. Janet Haskell. Melody Caney. Terry McCain. Joyce Heppenstall. Joanne Brines. Sharon Mosher. Paul Dusso. Oliver Jungle. Phyllis Johnson. Stuart Bender. Coral Gooch. Don Smith. Marlene Langfelt. Agnes Myers. Bonnie Sweet. Mary Choate. Ralph Palmer. Phyllis Neubauer. Ruth Blair.
And did we thank God for our saints? At this time, I'm going to invite forward Brad Barr, who serves as our Strategic Leadership Council Chair, and Judy Bishop, who serves as our Memorial Team Leader, for the recognition of memorial gifts.
Gifts have been given in remembrance of past members, memorializing their constant love and witness to Christ. We offer these gifts that they may be dedicated to the glory of Almighty God and for service to this church.
I accept these gifts on behalf of the congregation as a sacred trust, exercising stewardship of them reverently in honor of the faithful and devoted lives in whose memories they are given.
God, we give you thanks for each of our saints that we get to remember today. We give you thanks for their lives and for the ways that their lives have shaped ours. For the gifts given in their memory, and for the ways that we all continue to walk towards you and to grow in you day by day. We give you thanks that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He is the first and the last, and he holds the keys of hell and death, and he has overcome them. We give you thanks for the hope that we have, that we will have a joyful reunion with them in eternity. We pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Blessed Trinity. Amen.
Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life. God is my shepherd, so nothing shall I want. I rest in the meadows of faithfulness and love. I walk in the quiet waters of your peace. Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life. Gently you raise me and heal my weary soul. You lead me by pathways of righteousness and truth. My spirit shall sing the music of your name. Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life. should wander the valley of death, I fear no evil, for you are at my side. Your rod and your staff, my comfort and my hope. Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life. You have set me a banquet of love in the face of hatred, crowning me with love beyond all power to hold. Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life. Surely your kindness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of my God forevermore. Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life.
Now we come to a time of offering. As the ushers come forward, I invite you to consider how the Lord has been at work in your life this week. Where is he inviting you? How is he inviting you? And where have you seen his gifts this week? Will the ushers please come forward?
Thank you.
God, we give you thanks for all the gifts you have given to us. We know that all that we have to give is what you have already given to us, whether it's monetary, whether it is time, our skills and talents, all of it. Lord, we give you thanks for it. And we ask that you help us to be faithful stewards in each and every way. Lord, we thank you so much for who you are and what you call us to and how we can use all of our gifts to further your kingdom. We pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 17, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation this morning. After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands. And they were shouting with a great roar, "Salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living beings. And they fell before the throne with their faces to the ground and worshiped God. They sang, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength belong to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the 24 elders asked me, "Who are these who are clothed in white? Where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you are the one who knows." Then he said to me, "These are the ones who died in the great tribulation. They have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and made them white. That is why they stand in front of God's throne and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will give them shelter. They will never again be hungry or thirsty. They will never be scorched by the heat of the sun. For the Lamb on the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of life-giving water. And God will wipe every tear from their eyes." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Growing up, Andrew, my son, had a toy medical kit, and it had everything a practitioner would need to perform an annual checkup. Had a stethoscope, an otoscope. Hope I got that right. That's the funny-looking flashlight they put in your ear and down your throat, right? Had the blood pressure cuff, a thermometer, a Band-Aid. What are we missing? A syringe, right? Now, for me, it was all fun and games until Andrew got around to the syringe. Even though this one in Andrew's kit looked innocuous, it looked harmless, in my mind, I couldn't help but go back to those days, right? When as a child, you went to the doctor's office for your shots. Remember those days? Maybe you have the opportunity to live that out through your children today. Or maybe they're like you, like me, they're embedded in your mind. For me, these usually took place, yes, at the annual checkup just before the start of school. And I remember Dr. Kim's office on Mack Avenue in Grosse Pointe Woods. I remember being on high alert, knowing that a shot or two was likely to come. I remember every part of my greatest fear coming to fruition. The sterile look of the bottle containing the vaccination, the cool feel of the alcohol swab, and the absolute contrast between my comforting mother and this unrelenting nurse who kept coming to me with what must have been a 14-gauge needle. I promise you. I also remember, indeed, coming within an inch of my life as that needle pierced my scrawny arm. And in that moment, life could not get any worse. Period. This is until that nurse would finally relent and seemingly give in to my pleas for mercy. And then in that instance, life could not get any better because of the treasure chest that lay ahead, right? See, for each brave child who survived this ordeal at Dr. Kim's office, they kept a chest. All right, it was the bottom drawer in the office. But they kept this chest full of treasures and trinkets. It had the paddles with the ball at the end of a stretchy string, right? I imagine there were a few pinwheels, maybe some of those plastic spinning tops, and puzzles, yes. Remember those puzzles that had the sliding tiles in them? Or that steel ball bearing in them, and you'd have to navigate it around a maze? Presented with that treasure chest, life could not get any better. Maybe it goes without saying, I'm always disappointed each fall I walk into Walgreens, work up my courage, and all I get is, we'll see you next year. And a 10% coupon the next time I drop by, right? Yeah. What a disappointment. With this, I'm reminded that our outlook on the future matters. Our outlook on the future matters. In other words, what the future looks like in our heart and in our mind, in our spirit, undoubtedly has an impact on our here and now. This certainly was the case each year at my annual checkups. So long as I fixated on the pending shots, life could not get any worse. But turning the corner with all my battles behind me and a treasure trove of toys and trinkets in my future, life is grand. The fact is, our outlook matters. This is evident when faced with challenging circumstances or difficult decisions. Whether we view the future with hope or with resignation, effects are here and now. This is also the case whenever we feel death stings. How we mourn and how we grieve the death of our loved one is greatly impacted by whether we believe that God's love conquers all. And this is evident in what John shares with the churches in the Roman province of Asia in the book of Revelation. This mattered to John, the author of Revelation, whom tradition has named as one of Jesus' 12 disciples. For you see, John knew that for the churches in Asia, things were going to get worse before they got better. Now, if John was walking among us today, I believe he would be disappointed. I believe John would be disappointed because of how often we look at his letter in the New Testament, the book of Revelation, and how often it's misinterpreted, even worse, misused. Often we look at Revelation as a cryptic forecast of the future, or of end times. Or we look at it as a warning with regards to a God who is fixated on exercising divine wrath or divine judgment. But the fact is, in sharing what God revealed to him, John sought to encourage those who were disheartened and those who had lost hope. He did this by reminding them of the hope that we have in Christ. John was purposeful in doing this because he knew, John knew, that our outlook on the future matters. This is apparent in our scripture passage this morning in Revelation chapter 7. In this part of John's letter or his vision, there's this great multitude, John tells us. This great multitude from every nation, from all tribes, all peoples, all languages, worshiping the Lamb on the throne. Indeed, this Lamb is none other than the sacrificial Son of God, who took on the sins of the world so that all who believe would be forgiven. And if we look at John's vision with the mindset of the first century church, what we see is a scene depicting the power and the might of God's victory. That's what's before us. We see this in the countless saints in worship who are robed in white with palm branches in their hands as they cry out saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." But if we move a little bit further into John's vision, things get a little bit confusing. In verse 13, one of the elders witnessing this worship along with him says to John, who are these, right? Who are these who are clothed in white? To which John says, in essence, you know better than me. You tell me who they are. To which the elder responds, these are the ones who died in the great tribulation, in the great suffering. They have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and made them white. In other words, these saints in worship who are clothed in white are the ones who have persisted in faith. Just like our saints. Just like those whose shoulders we stand on. Indeed, just like our loved ones. And their robes are now white as a result of having been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And in the elder's response, we are left to wonder, how is it that the robes of this multitude are made white by being washed in the blood of the Lamb? And in this contradiction, we catch a glimpse of what John wants to remind the church throughout his revelation. The very fact that what appears to be so apparent in this life may not be so in the life to come. I mean, I know we're United Methodists, but there might be an amen out there, right? Right? That what appears to be so apparent in this life may not be so in the life to come. Because in this life, we know that the blood of the sacrificial lamb would permanently stain a robe red. But in the life to come, it is only after being washed by the blood of the Lamb that those robes become an otherworldly kind of white. And amid the trials we endure in this life, John wants us to never forget that what takes place in this life, that what takes place in the life to come will never be limited by what seems so apparent today. This is a timely reminder on this Remembrance Sunday when we remember the life and the faith of those who have gone before us. For indeed, death in this life has its sting. It hurts. It causes us to grieve. We mourn our losses. And it can seem like we are closing a door with such finality. But in the life to come, death gives way to everlasting life and to what will be forever. And so our bottom line in being the church today, and as we remember our loved ones on this Remembrance Sunday, may we not lose sight of what the saints of the church already know so well. Because our outlook on the future and today matters. Amen. Amen. Friends, on this Remembrance Sunday, we're going to do our pastoral congregational prayer a little bit different. I'm going to base it on a traditional Hawaiian prayer. And to do this, I'm going to ask you to name somebody, a loved one, in your mind. In fact, as Gabrielle starts playing, I'm going to invite you to name a loved one who has passed in your mind. You might ask the Holy Spirit, who came upon the church on Pentecost, to name that person to you. You might imagine them in your mind. You might write their names just in the palm of your hand. You might write them down in your bulletin. You might say their name quietly out loud. And then I'll lead you through a series of questions that I'll invite you to lift prayers during our time together. And so let us gather our hearts, minds, and spirit in prayer, and let us name that loved one in our mind this day. And so with your saint in mind, with your loved one in mind, someone who rests from their labors, who has preceded us to everlasting life, as you name them, what do you have to be thankful for them? Certain cherished memories, characteristics that they have spoken into your life. What do you have to be thankful for from them? Lord, hear our prayers as we say thank you. And now with our loved one in mind, is there something you might need to ask them for forgiveness? Is there something you might need to ask them for forgiveness? I invite you to offer these silently to God in prayer. Lord, hear our prayers as we say, please forgive me. As we continue to hold our loved ones in mind, I invite you to consider, is there something they might need your forgiveness for? Is there something they might need your forgiveness for? I invite you to offer this silently to God in prayer. Lord, hear our prayers as we say, I forgive you. And lastly, with our loved ones in mind, how would you express your love for them today? How would you express to them your love for them today? I invite you to offer this silently to God in prayer. Lord, in your goodness, hear our prayers as we say, I love you. Lord, we lift these prayers on this day when a nation remembers the sacrifice of those who have given their lives in service to our country. And we remember family members and loved ones who share in their sacrifice still today. We pray that you would point their hearts as you have pointed our hearts to one of hope that knows of life's everlasting promises. And Lord, as we gather on this Pentecost Sunday, may your Holy Spirit continue to flow through your holy church, that we might continue to live on in faith, the very faith that our saints have lived and passed on to us. Give us such hope when we gather. Give us such hope in quiet times, in times of celebration. Give us such hope as your church and as your people. We pray all this with the confidence of God's people, in the name of Jesus who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able and to join us in our closing hymn, O God, our help in ages past. You'll find this on page 117 of the hymnal or on the screen in front of you. In our time in worship on this Remembrance Sunday, I'm going to offer you these words of hope from John. And he who sits on the throne will give them shelter. They will never again be hungry or thirsty. They will never be scorched by the heat of the sun. The Lamb on the throne will be their shepherd. Lead them to springs of life-giving water. God will wipe every tear from their eyes. May this be our hope today and in the life to come. Amen. Amen. Thank you.